We're going over to 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 19. And a lot of these passages, and I realize I'm working on them, it's like in another message, if it's a topical type message, you'll hear bits and pieces of these verses like this in there, but this one is about this verse. We're just going to lay it out here. It's a very straightforward message, and let's go to work on it. But it says this in the New Living Translation, "But God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone with this inscription." Everybody needs to hear this. I wish that everybody that's kind of coming off and on would come and just all be here at one time to hear these words from the Lord. The Lord knows those who are His. And all who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil. And then it goes into an interesting little thing here that a lot of pastors don't want to preach this because it's kind of, you know, especially in other translations, it sounds a little weird. But it says, "In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, you'll be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you'll be ready for the Master to use you for every good work." Is everybody hearing this? So, he says, keep yourself pure, you'll be useful, you'll be clean, you'll be ready for the Master to use for every good work. And then he says, run, run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Some people have been running all their lives, and some need to start, and some can't anymore. So you have to find another way. But what he's saying is, run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. You say, that's a lot. So I just titled this, God Knows All and God Knows You. And no matter what you're experiencing, no matter what life throws at you, God knows. He knows it all, and He knows you. He made you. In the Psalms, it says we're specially and wonderfully made. So don't you forget that. And God formed you in the womb, and you're special, and you're wonderfully made. You're here for a purpose, every single one of you. God, listen, God knows those who belong to Him, and He knows also where they are. You need to remember that. That's our first point. God knows who belongs to Him, and He knows where they are. So what is it saying? God knows if you belong to Him, which you do, and He knows where you are. Now, that's where I want to get into this. Let's just jump into the meat real quick. God knows who you are. Jesus said, my sheep know me. I call them by name and they follow me, and no one can take them out of my hand. He knows you and you know Him. But He knows where you are. Now, some this morning are out and about and He knows where they are. He knows if you if you're serious or if you're playing. But that's not what He's really talking about. You know, when He knows where we are, you know what we're trying to get into here? Sure, God knows where we are physically, and we all know that. But that's not the point here. That's easy for God. Here's the tough part for us. He knows where we are in our personal life, in our personal walk with Him. We throw out these personas. We put on this stage play. We try to fool people, and without maybe really intentionally realize it, we're trying to fool God. And we're trying, and we do. We so many Christians put on a show before the Lord. I hear some things, and you hear some stuff, on the internet, or you can hear something which I don't have, but down here on the radio, TV, and it's like, quit putting on a show and really bring the word. We have enough dog and pony shows out here to entertain. Churches, listen to me. You may not, take a look at this. Do a study on it sometime. Don't take my word for it at all. Many churches calling themselves Christian churches today are socialist, and they're bringing a socialist agenda from the Word of God. They're watering it down to the point, and they're socialist. And you look at it and you say, they're not preaching Jesus. They're preaching feel good. And they're preaching, you know, prosperity. And I'm not here to beat on all that. I'm just saying, but rest assured, God knows. And God knows who belong to Him and who are not. He knows who's His and who's not. But listen to me, when we say God knows where you are, He knows who you are and He knows where you are. He knows where you are not only spiritually, He knows where you are emotionally. He knows where you are in your doubts. This is important. God knows when we doubt. He knows when we struggle. He knows when we're saying, I'm confused with the Scripture, or I'm confused with you, God, or I'm confused with life. God knows. He knows where you are. He always knows where you are. And He's not going to let you down. I'm telling you, hang on to this. Never let it go. You hurt, you're physically hurting, your heart's hurt, your spirit struggles, you're going through things that you just feel like you just can't make it anymore. God knows where you are. And it took me a lot of years to realize, Tony, no matter where you go, in your mind, in your heart, in your spiritual walk or lack of it, God knows where you are. If He knows where I'm at, He also knows the road to get me back. And you grab hold of this and hold on to it. We're under a lot of trials and strains. We are. Any true Christian believer, any true Christian church worship, coming together, worshiping of believers, a lot of theys are against us anymore. And they'd love to see us fold up. They want us to go away. They don't want us to bring a conscience. They don't want us to bring God's Word. They don't want to hear that we have to have ethics. That we have to have... listen to me. You know, if I had to pull out any one thing of attributes that are absolutely essential outside of salvation, you know what I would label it? Character. Because when a person has character, they have honor, they have integrity. They keep their word. They do what they say. They're who they say they are. Their belief is real. And if there's anything missing everywhere, it's character. Now, I was reading in an old Louis Lamar Western, one of his many books. They're quite spiritual. Anyway. I was just reading it, but this father was speaking to his son. He's a grown son, but he's young, and he was just saying to him, his son was having a little struggle with a gal and with some other people, and so his dad said, son, he just walks up and they're working on bridles and saddles, and he said, son, the one thing that you look for, the one thing that must stand out always is character. And he said that applies to every horse, every dog, every critter, and every human. Character. Some horses have character and some don't. Some dogs have character in their own animal way and some don't. But then and human. And the boy stood there and dad just walked off, never explained another thing. He just let those words sink in. But I thought about that many times reading that story, and it's like, isn't it? It's all about, it comes down to it, outside your salvation, what's salvation there to build? Character. That makes you an honorable person. A person that honors God. A person that follows Christian ethics. Do we stumble? Yeah. And occasionally, yes. Occasionally we're all going to, wham right into the dirt. We fall. But character makes you get up. And let me tell you what else character does. Character causes you to look to God and say, I repent, forgive me, Father, I stumbled, I fail. and character. Here's one of the things I see missing so much in Christianity. That's not the end of it. And many Christians don't realize why they're not as blessed as they need to be. Because character then says, not only do I confess to God, I have another step to take. I have to get it right with the person I hurt. That's when the blessing comes. That's when there's closure on it. That's when everything comes together. Yes, you know, we come to God and we know He's full of grace and He'll forgive us. He says, confess your sins, I'll forgive them. But there's another step to a lot of this. Not in every case, but in most cases. If we have hurt someone in any form and we confess that to God, that's not finished. So I have to take it to whoever I hurt with that insult, sin, whatever it was, and get it right. And then the blessing of God is going to come out upon me. You see, this is the stuff that's not being taught so much in Christianity anymore. It's personal responsibility. It's character. So God knows you, and He knows where you are. And He knows if we're hurting. He knows what we need. He also knows if we need to get it right with someone. First you get it right with Him. Then you get it right with whoever. That's just like earlier in here, and I was sharing some things with you before we started. That I need to do that. If you ever wonder, you know, I've had people in the past question that, saying, do you really think it's good for you in your position to confess your faults like that? And I thought, if I don't model that, how can I ever bring a message asking you to do it? And you need to know so you can pray for me. You know, it's like, what's distracting, Pastor? These events, things out here, lots of stuff. And so you pray for me that way, and I pray for you. But if I've got to be open and I've got to come clean, just like this message is telling us all to do. God knows where we are, and He won't let us rest until we get it right with Him and each other. And listen to me. So many people are having trouble in their walk with God because they're not right with themselves. If you're not okay with you, how in the world can you be okay with me or anybody else? And a lot of folks aren't okay with other people because they're not okay with themselves in their heart. And God knows where they are. And because He knows, He's a loving God and He's quite forgiving. He's totally forgiven. And listen, coming clean before God is a wonderful step. It sounds so like, oh God, I got to crawl to the... No, you don't. You bow your head where you are. And it's really not just the posture outwardly. It's bowing your heart before Jesus, who's Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and saying, Father, forgive me. I'm a sinner. I shouldn't have said those things. I shouldn't have done those things. I shouldn't have listened, or I shouldn't have said, or I shouldn't have reacted, or whatever. And then, God, forgive me. And you know, He says, if you confess your sins before me, I'm faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But then listen to His Spirit saying, now here's what I want you to do with this. And He may tell you to go to someone and get it right, or He may tell you you're good. And be like the woman that was, you remember they dragged out there in front of Him, and she was caught in the very act of adultery. And then Jesus put those self-appointed judges in their place. And He said, who is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. That's one of my favorite Bible stories, by the way. I use it a lot in the work I do outside, you know, here, in helping people that feel condemned, self-condemnation, my sins, you know, I'll never be able to be. And it's like, let me tell you a story. And so He said, you know, they wanted to kill her and stone her, and if you don't have any sin, be the first to cast a stone. And they all those Pharisees walked away. And Jesus said, woman, is there anyone here to condemn you? Has anyone condemned you? And she said, no one. And what did He say? Neither do I condemn you. Now go and leave this life of sin. Isn't that great? That's what Christianity is about. And that's the hope. And you hear that word this morning. Jesus did not come into this world to condemn you, but to save you. And He knows where you are, and so open your heart, let it out. You know, people, I've had some real experience in dealing personal. Anyway, I'm trying to figure out how to say all this. I do it all the time, dealing with people who have so much baggage they can't get rid of it, or they haven't yet, and it ruins everything in their lives. God, listen to this. Listen to the Lord this morning. God knows where you are, and He knows what you need. Most people that I see in our church, and we have an extended ministry in other places. We really do. And so, one of their biggest problems is they've never let God take away what happened in the past. And they, you know, this is the way I've described it to many people. If you're dragging along a whole bunch of baggage, hurts, pains, disappointments, failures, whatever, and you've not let God take that and sever it from you, every time you look at another person, you're not seeing them for who God made them. You're seeing them through those filters of what's following you. It's like putting on a pair of old dark sunglasses, they're not polarized. You can't really see. And all the colors are distorted. All the images are not quite right. And that's what we see with people when, see, our vision, our spiritual vision, our heart vision is not clear if we're dragging something that's murky and muddy around us. And we hear things and see things and think things and make decisions based on our baggage rather than on what is. Make sense? And it's all happened to us, hasn't it? And many times, listen, many times we've seen things and heard things in the end that they weren't real. They weren't there. Why? Because we saw it through our past experience and we've never let it go. And that's the way we judge. I have people who say, listen to this. I have people who say, I hear this to this day. All men are liars. All men are untrustworthy. And then on the other side, all women are crazy. I just heard that recently. You know, every woman's crazy. And I thought, well, you know, not even more than the rest of us, you know. I think everybody's crazy to some extent, you know. And then all women, you know, all women are gossips and all women will do that. And it's back and forth. And then you see these groups out here. I hate that. That is not of God. To say, well, all black people are this, or all the people that, or all white people are you crazy? Yeah, they are. Anyway, because the truth is, you see, why is that being said? Well, you know, let's take out the political thing, but on a personal level, why is that said? Because you have not let go of something in your life, and you're judging everybody because of that. And we see life through a very distorted filter. We see things that aren't there. I've had guys, and I don't do this anymore. I quit doing this. You know, I used to, you know, guide and take people out. I don't do that anymore. And one of the reasons why is you get people and they want to see something. A guy wants to see a big elk, or he wants to see a big deer so bad. And I want to see that big deer. And down there, and it's just, and this is the worst time, by the way, when it's just breaking light. Just breaking. And they'll see something down there, and I can't tell you how many times that this has happened, and a tree limb with forks in it has been turned into the biggest Boone and Crockett buck in the world. And they'll have a camera or they're hunting or whatever it is. And look it. And I'm trying my best. Where? And it right down there. Oh, God, that's the biggest. And I can't. And it turns out to be a tree deer. Because they saw what they wanted to see rather than what was there. And friends, a lot of times in life, we do that. Haven't you ever been out at night somewhere and you heard things that weren't really there? are in your house? Have you ever been assured somebody was trying to break in and it was nothing but the temperature change on the roof or the house or whatever, and it, or the house shifted a little and it creaked and popped? There's nothing like being there asleep and then you hear that popping sound. What is that? And based on your prior experiences, what happens? A story starts forming in your mind. And before you know it, there's an armed band of guerrilla raiders breaking in every window of your home. Don't we do this? Listen, friends, God knows where you are. He knows your heart. He knows your every thought. And He knows your every fear and everything you're dragging along, every pain and sorrow. And you say, what's the point? Give it to Him. That's the point. He knows what you need. He knows your relationships with people, your fellowship or lack of it. He knows every doubt, every pain, every fear, every need and every want. Just open up and give it to God and let Jesus Christ set you free. God knows all. He knows you. He knows, He knows, He knows. Secondly, allow yourself to really belong to God. Why don't we do that? But so many people, listen, this is not to be critical, but look how many people are part-time Christians, part-time worshipers, part-time attenders. And so it's somewhere there's got to be a place where we realize you can't be part-time saved. You're either fully saved or you're not. There's not a middle road with salvation, and there's not that place, you know, where, well, I'm almost there. Yeah, I'm saved, but no, wait a minute. When Jesus Christ comes into your heart and you get, and that's just a problem, and you give Him control, and so many people don't, and they resist giving Him control. They still want their own ways, own ideas. I want my thoughts. I want my temper. I want this. I want that. You're not experiencing God until you open your heart and let God experience you. Let yourself really belong to God. Be His. You have Jesus' honor, His name, His reputation. And somewhere along the line, we have to hear this and tell others this. Look, you are responsible for the reputation of God. You have a family name. It's Christianity. Jesus. And it's hard to think about, but listen to, you know, everywhere I go, am I accountable for being responsible for God's reputation? God's being judged by what I say and do. He sure takes some hits, doesn't He? And this is not to be a condemning message or anything. It's just to say, man, God knows all, and He knows us. So be His. We have family honor here. We have the honor of Jesus. Act like His. Use and live, and use Jesus' name, live in His name. Live as His. Don't talk, just talk about it, do it. Now, I'll tell you something else. A lot of Christians need to hear that they need to start enjoying God, enjoying Jesus Christ. They need to enjoy their church. I mean, we know our bodies, the temple living God, and actually, that's the church. But more people need to enjoy coming together in Christ and just being there with each other. It's not always about getting the top-rate message or top-rate music. A lot of times it's getting top-rate fellowship with God and each other. That's what it's about. Even for me, I come here, and yeah, I know God's used me to bring the message, and you know, and I'm doing and giving. But friends, this is the only place I've got where I get some rejuvenation. I mean, I have to bring this, so I've studied it, and then when I hear my voice, things come out that I didn't know was in there. That happens all the time. A lot of times, and stuff comes out, and I'm thinking, where'd that come from? And that's the Holy Spirit. So it helps me. This is where I go to, because the rest of it, when I leave here, most of what I'm going to hear is what? Negative. What's wrong in the world, what's wrong in people's lives, all the stuff that's going on. So this is it. This is the positive moment. I drive 82 miles to get it. and it's worth it, you know, and it's worth it to see you. You think I don't need these hugs too? I try to hug everybody. You know why? You need it. But so do I. So do I. I live way out there where, you know, it's just hard hugging a gatepost. Just doesn't do much for you. And so life gets a little dry if you don't have something to hang on to. So enough of that. Let's move on. I want to share this passage. It won't be up here, but I want to just share this because I had it here. I thought, use it if you led to use it, but I am. I want to leave this second point with you with this in your mind. No, to really let yourself really belong to God, write a Romans 8. You can just write this down, look this up. I'll read it real quick. It says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God, daughters of God, children of God, whichever you want. But it said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, you're the children of God. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. There's a lot of people that needs to hear that. You did not receive the spirit of bondage to fear. If you have fear, you know, and it's just overwhelming you, everybody has some fear at times, but I'm talking about that fear that just won't go away. God didn't give it to you. He says, I didn't give you a bondage, and he calls it bondage again to fear. What did you receive? You received the spirit of adoption. Every one of us, look at this. You received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. That word in the Greek, Abba, means dearest, closest Father, dearest Father. So it's Abba, Father is dear Father, close Father, personal. What it's saying is your personal Father. He says we've been given the spirit of adoption and we can call God our personal dear Father. Don't you realize what he was trying to say here? We're used to hearing this. These people didn't know you could do that. You couldn't call God Father. You had to call him what? A Hebrew name. You couldn't call him Father God like we do here. Dear Father. They had all the Hebrew names for God. And they had to use them, which kept him distant. He was either the God of the mountain or God of this and God of that. See, they couldn't address him personally. And that's what changed with Jesus Christ. And that's what he was using Paul to teach here is you don't have to call God, God out there. God that comes on the mount once in a while. He said you can call him dear Father because his spirit's in your heart. You can sit down and talk to your God as your personal Father. And the Spirit himself, it says, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How about that? The Holy Spirit bears witness in your heart that God is your Father. Talk to him. Share with him. Open your heart to him. And he says he bears witness, and if we're his children, then we're his heirs. You hear that? We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. What does that mean? If indeed we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. What is that saying? Jesus suffered, yes, but then he was glorified. You are going to be glorified. You're going to be given a new body that can never, never die. You're going to live where Jesus lives. You're going to have the same privileges that Jesus Christ has. And he gives that freely. We read these passages and a lot of times we just don't get it. That this is how great it is being a Christian. So be his. You have it all. Share it. Live it. God knows where you are. Just turn yourself over totally to him. Let yourself fully belong to him. And then third, let me just close with this. Thirdly, God wants what? Listen, this is probably the hardest part. God wants to mature us. Tough word. He wants to mature us into his godliness. And that's where the trouble comes in. Because God wants us to grow up into him. He said, flee these youthful lusts, you know, and all this stuff, and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, all that kind of stuff. And with those who, you know, call on the, you know, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Let me give you this, and then I'll work to the points to close on in this last one. Let me give you some places we have to move on from, that we have to mature from. Number one, and I'm sharing these because these are the things that I encounter, others in the books and research, but anyway, it's the stuff that I see. And number one, the places that people get stuck and they need to move on from is being controlled by impulsive emotions. Got to move on. And that means stuff from your past has got to be taken away. How many right here have had been afflicted by someone, hurt by someone, or maybe you've struggled with it yourself, where you just get controlled suddenly by impulsive emotions and wish to God that it had never been said, never been done, blah, blah. How many here have done it? Yep. And how many have had it done to you? Everybody. Where somebody just, I mean, those compulsive emotions, somebody reacted or you reacted, and the minute you do it, you know it's, or you come down off of it, you're going, now, am I even saved? Really, seriously, you ever been that way? You say a bunch of stuff, do something, think, am I even saved? How can I do that? Because you're human, and you've got things in your life, and these impulsive emotions, how come they're impulsive emotions? Something's stuck in your life. There's some place in your heart that God needs to be let into, some dark place, and it's got, may have a door chained across, a chain across the door of it. Open it up. Get it clean. God, you know, I was mistreated. I got hurt. I've been angry for blah, 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 how many years or all my life. Let it go. Give it to him. Is it easy? No. But it must be done. Secondly, places we have to move on from. Here's one that just bends people's hearts all the time. Bless your little hearts. Thinking if you do the right thing that they will do the right thing. That's a heartbreaker, folks. Thinking if I do the right thing, they, whoever they is in your life, that they will do the right thing. Don't you count on it. And there's a many a Christian with a many a broken heart, and their heart's broken because they thought if they did the right thing, it would cause an exact reaction in the other person, and the opposite happened. You did the right thing, and they just stepped right on your head. You need to get unstuck from that. You say, is there any comfort you can give us on that? This. Jesus always did the right thing, but he sure didn't have the right thing always done to him. But he never stopped doing the right thing. And that's where we get hung up. See, stop expecting people to respond and like to what we do. Just do the right thing. Remember what Jesus did. He's our example. He did the right thing and they hung him on a cross for it. Now, that's not to discourage you from doing the right thing, because he rose again. And so will you. The right thing always wins. But don't think somebody's going to reciprocate. You'll get your little heart hurt over and over again if you think that. You get stuck there. I've had many a guy saying, if I just take flowers home, it'll be all right. Don't count on it. Flowers help, but it might not be all right. I've had many a gal saying, if I just buy him that favorite, whatever he wants, he won't be so high-tempered at home. Don't you count on it. The only thing that will change people's temper, insensitivity, whatever it is not something new. It's not flowers. It's not gifts. It's not money. It's not doing the right thing. It's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has to be allowed to come into the human heart and make the changes. And one of the things that I have to have pointed out to me, and it has been many times, the Lord points it out a lot, is, Tony, this is where I get stuck. if it applies to you, I hope it does. But it's, Tony, you can't fix everybody. Everybody you listen to, counsel with, pray for, they are not all going to listen. And the truth is, sometimes you're working with people and they really don't want you to fix them. They don't want God to fix them. They want to just gripe and complain and gripe and complain. And they just want somebody to hear all their troubles. They don't want to be fixed. Okay? We all run into that. So it's in my nature to bring healing, to let God use me to bring healing, to fix people, to help them from their hurts. And I have to sometimes watch it because I get stuck there. And I get upset. Why don't they listen? And I can't answer that. But they don't. Let me tell you real quick, somewhere else you can get really hung up. You need to move away from thinking that you can make everybody around you happy. Y'all are sure quiet in this message. Have you ever tried to make somebody happy? You ever been in a relationship where you tried to make them happy? You know what you found out? Only God can do that. And they have to let Him. I've spoken with a many, and still do, heartbroken husband, wife, kids, in a family, saying nothing we do works. And it's like, no, it won't. Only God can do what you're attempting to do. Good effort, good attempts. You got the right motivation. But it won't bring happiness. Friends, there's some people who just refuse to be happy. They can watch Laurel and Hardy and frown. They're some of my favorite characters. I'm going to find, I know there's got to be box set or something, a bunch of Laurel and Hardy. Surely there is, right, somewhere? I just love those guys. When I'm really upset and everything, watch Laurel and Hardy. If you think you do dumb things, watch Laurel and Hardy. Stan Laurel has done more to make my self-esteem so much stronger in life than any other human being. So there you are. Now that's where I get my comedy. Those guys just do it for me. You know, just, I saw one with the piano. I can't ramble, but do you ever see the piano one? Oh my gosh, where they go up all these steps, they're piano movers, and they get it to the top and it comes back down. And I thought, but for me, it was like, that's the story of a lot of people's lives. Just about the time they think they're on top financially or whatever, down it goes to the bottom again. Does anybody ever feel in that place? Pardon? They keep trying. And then the funniest part, in the end, it's this long line of steps. If you haven't seen it, you got to see that one. But this is like a lot of us. In the very end, what they find out, there was a road that went right up there to the house. They could have just driven up and unloaded it. They didn't see the road. They saw those high climbing stairs. It's funny, but to me, is there life lessons? So many of us are trying to push the piano up the steps when there's a road that God's already provided to get it there a lot easier. Really is. It's because we're insisting on doing it our own way, or the way we've been taught to do it, rather than the way God has provided. All right, that's enough. Go watch Laurel and Hardy. Another place that you can, we've got to move on from, I won't elaborate on these next two, just tell you. Being easily influenced by the opinion of others. Some of us are just conditioned. I mean, somebody can say one ugly thing, one negative thing, and it just takes you down. And then I'll give you this one. I know this one seems so childish, immature, so redundant. But friends, I had to work hard as a younger pastor. I'm better, much better now, but took a lot of years. Thinking that you can make other people like you if you're just good enough. I want to tell you something. They're going to like you or they won't. That's it. Live with it. But you got to be okay with God. See, get your self-esteem from God, and they'll either like you or they will not. Let me tell you this in closing. People will either trust you or they won't. I've heard, and a lot of us have lived with this, hey, you know, you have to earn trust. There are some people you'll never earn their trust because they can't trust. They won't trust. That's why I started out saying character. Be a person of integrity. Be a trustworthy person. But accept these facts that some people will never, ever trust you. And you can't earn it. And frankly, you reach a place in life where you're just too dadgum old and tired to try. I am tired of trying to earn, you know, the trust of people. It's like, what? I can't earn the trust of somebody I didn't trust anybody. And these are just real, this is realism here. This is a real thing. This is a practical message. And I pray God will use in our lives to set you free from the control of people and get rid of your past and just be a good, happy, spirit-filled Christian. And I have to say this, and this is probably more for pastors and teachers than it is for anybody else, but it'll help you. This last little point, sub-point, people will love and trust God or they won't. My job up here is to bring God's Word, live God's Word, practice it as best I can. But in the end, I can only bring His Word. I can't make people believe it. And sometimes I've gone home so frustrated because I just could see, or maybe I didn't even get out of church. And so, it's like somebody's gone, you know, blah, 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 on something. And it's like, did you not hear that message? Our message is to live it, breathe it, present it. But they have to decide to take it. So, move forward, move on. Pursue righteousness, like he says, and be one of those useful vessels in the house, not one for dishonor. Pursue Christ as the love of your life. I'm telling you, that's the way to handle this. Let Jesus be the love of your life. Trust in God whether you understand what's happening or not, and that's tough. If you don't hear anything else, hear that. Trust in God whether you understand everything else or not. Trust God to do what's best because He knows you and He knows where you are. Trust Him to do what's best. And something else. Trust God to work miracles in your life. He's never changed. I've had people say, oh, we've moved into a new church era and that, you know, we don't see those. What? We don't see those miracles like you saw in the days when Christ walked the earth? Yes, we do. Well, why aren't we experiencing more of them? Because not very many people believe like that. And they don't just come. You know, listen to me. What does the scripture say? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you. And forever. If that being true, and it is, then He hasn't changed. We've changed. And there's times to not be sophisticated, not think we're so advanced, but to get down there with God and bend your heart before Him and say, God, You know, and You know where I'm at. You know where I'm suffering, struggling, what baggage is hanging on, all the junk that's running everything in my life. And God, I need You to come into my heart. I need You to forgive me. I need You to cleanse me. I want You to remove this. I want You to set me free. I want You to take me out here and fill me with the joy of the Lord. I want the Spirit to fill me overflowing as rivers of living water. I want to be an impact. I want to be in somebody. I want to be honoring Your holy name every moment of my life. That's the best I can give you today. Okay. Oh, God, we thank You, Lord, for Your blessings, Your Word, Your love, Your grace, Your forgiveness. Help us, God. Help us. Bind that devil from us and help us. You know us. You know where we are. God, help us just to open up and be just totally Yours and trust You with our lives and all the rest in Jesus' name. Your will be done. We love you. Amen. Amen. We're going to close with the Lord's Supper and go home. And Terry, we'll let you do that.